Grace and peace to you in God, who is our Father and our Mother, and in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So I am not generally a fan of reality TV, but Lee and I really enjoy watching The Great British Baking Show. I don't know if any of the rest of you watch that or if there's any other reality TV that you enjoy. So there's always that moment at the end when they're about to announce first, you know, the one who gets sent out of the tent or, you know, voted off the island. And then also when they're going to announce the winner, and this is the winner of 2022 season. I didn't get this year's pictures because Lee and I haven't watched it yet, so we don't know who won. And they say, and the winner is... And then they pause for like 90 seconds. And you sit there waiting. That's what Advent is like. A time of waiting, a pause, a time of holding our breath in anticipation of what comes next. Now, the season of Advent may sometimes feel a little artificial, partly because when we will step out the door, the rest of the world is in full Christmas swing, right? Both feet in, there's no waiting happening out there. Christmas music everywhere you go, sales on all of your digital feeds for Christmas gifts, right? And all the decorations. We took a walk last night. Our neighborhood is full on Christmas decor. But even more, what does it mean to wait for Jesus when we know that Jesus has been born? That Jesus is with us always. And so how do we say that we are waiting for Jesus to arrive? The idea of waiting for the Lord is a recurring theme in Hebrew scripture. Now, I had a sense of this recurring theme, but I didn't know just how much until I Googled it this week. So many references to waiting for the Lord in our Hebrew scripture. So I listed some of them here. Ooh, and they're actually up there. Psalm 130, this one's particularly Advent. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in God's word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than the watchman for the morning, more than the watchman for the morning. Or from Psalm 37, be still before the Lord, wait patiently for God. From Psalm 27, wait for the Lord, be strong, take heart and wait for the Lord. From Micah 7, but as for me, I watch in hope for the Lord. I wait for God, my Savior, my God will hear me. And finally, from Lamentations, the Lord is good to those whose hope is in God. To the one who seeks God, it is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. We see in these things how this idea of waiting for God is connected to the idea of hope, right? That waiting for God is a hoping and trusting in God's presence, expecting that God is going to show up for us. And so waiting for God also means paying attention to our relationship with God, how God is moving in our lives. And waiting for God means staying faithful, doing the work of faith. For the prophet Isaiah, that expression of waiting for God becomes a lament. And here's another piece where we feel a little out of joint with the culture, right? Where out there it's the most wonderful time of the year. We enter on the first Sunday of Advent and we get this lament. Oh, that you would open the heavens and come down, O God. The people of Israel feel that God is distant, perhaps has even abandoned them. Now, these words were spoken to the people when they had returned from the time of exile. So if you remember, the nation of Judah was conquered by Babylon. The people went for a generation in exile in Babylon. And then politics changed. They're able to return home. And there's a sense of like, great, we're going home. Everything's going to be fine. We're going to live happily ever after. But when they get there, the place is in rubble. People have died. Nothing is the same as it was before. And so they cry out to God, where are you? Are you still mad at us? it still moves back to that hope and trust. Oh God, you are our parent, our creator. You are the potter and we are clay in your hands. You are still the one in whom we trust and hope. God, we're waiting for you to show up and show us the way and make this better. This act of lament is an act of faith. To lament means to put full trust in God, that God can handle all of our troubling emotions, our anger, our fear, our hurt. And we can bring those into our relationship with God in the expectation that God is present in all those feelings and places in our lives. And so this lament is an act of hope and trust and a moment of dreaming as well, right? Dreaming for that better world that could be and that God will bring. Then we turn to Mark's gospel. And again, this is the biggest jolt for me. The first Sunday of Advent, that looking to the end times. And Jesus says that as we wait for God, we have nothing to fear. But that we wait for God like in the spring when the green buds start to come on the trees. And for me, at least, that just always brings joy, a smile to my lips. Ah, look, it's greening. We're almost done with winter. And Jesus says that in this time of anticipation, we are to keep awake, to pay attention to what God has done for us. Pay attention to how God is at work in our lives, to those God moments, those God sightings that come up in our lives. And so I'm going to invite you to think for a little bit about the God sightings that are coming up for you in your life right now. Where do you see God at work? And if anything you take home from this service today, think in the coming weeks about how we keep awake to God's presence in our lives. I have a few to share, and one is, you may have been wondering, what's all this about? Our work with the asylum seekers at the border, I think, is such a God sighting in this place. And here we have more than 30 quilts, 130 hats that Patrick and got the Bible study involved to create these hats. And then over 200 just kids that have some Christmas activities and cheer and encouragement. And these are all going down to El Paso this week to be distributed at shelters where asylum seekers are waiting and hoping and dreaming for a better life. To give some sense of care and love to these people who have gone through unimaginable trauma. To look for a better life and are still just on that cusp of waiting, hoping. So this is an amazing, beautiful sight of care from this congregation to a whole group of people. Another place that I've experienced God showing up is in our grief groups. We sit simply to share the experience of grief. We start with a prayer, a reading, but mostly it's about the encouragement that we can offer to one another as people of God, right? To be able to share stories, to support and encourage one another in that experience of grief. I know that whenever we gather back in that library, God shows up with us. And finally, I just have to share, I have a friend who has a granddaughter. It is his first granddaughter. And we are all of us on his Facebook feed sharing in this experience. He heads off to the Northwest, and it's Hazel time. And pretty soon, we're going to have hundreds of pictures of Hazel filling our Facebook feeds. And for me, I look at those pictures, and it is always Hazel being adored by two parents, two grandparents. She is surrounded and held in love, and I think, would that every child could know that kind of love. I dream of a world in which every child and every person would be held in that kind of love and care and adoration, that they know that they are loved and that they are loved by God. My friends, our Advent waiting is not a static sitting waiting for something to happen. It is an active, breathless anticipation. Given all that God has done, what will be next? Given all the ways that God has shown up, where will we see God now? We wait for a baby to be born in a manger and for how that baby is born in our lives as well. How we might be called upon to show up, to do the work of faith, serving this world that God loves. Our Advent theme this year, you may have seen it a few places already, is those who dream. And we have art and poetry, words for worship all around this theme of dreaming. We dream about a better world. We dream about a deeper connection with God and sight of God's presence in our lives. We dream for a vibrant and loving community of faith and for a world in which everyone would know the love of God. And we pay attention to how God's dreams for a faithful people who live in love and service, to God's dreams for a just world in which everyone is fed and there is no war. There's a theme song that goes along with this, this theme of those who dream by a group called The Many. We've had some of their music since the pandemic, both in our online worship and in with our praise band. And in that song, there's a line, "Those who dream change everything." We'll sing that next week, but that's a theme that goes through our Advent. Those who dream change everything. So I have a story about dreams and hopes and perseverance. And it begins 80 years ago at the Trinity test site when that first Trinity device was tested. And they looked for a remote area, trying to be careful and safe, and detonated that first Trinity test, right? But as it turns out, there were half a million people living within a 150-mile radius of that first site. And they had no idea how that nuclear detonation was going to affect those people. And as it has turned out, in those families that live in that radius, there have been decades, generations of unusual cancers and other health effects from that radiation. Now, in 1990, the federal government recognized these effects of radiation from all of the nuclear testing that had been done and passed the Radiation Exposure Compensation Act to compensate citizens for those effects. But New Mexico was excepted from that, which is an odd thing. And so this group gathered in that area, the Tularosa Basin Downwinders Consortium. Now, I will admit, I had heard about them just a little bit, but not a lot. And then the Oppenheimer movie came out, and I don't know if any of the rest of you heard about them, but suddenly this work of this Downwinders Consortium was getting a lot of attention. And alongside that, legislation has been introduced to amend that act so that New Mexico and also a few other people who were left out, oddly, Missouri, Tennessee, would be included in the act. Last month, that legislation passed the House, and it is going to the Senate with unlikely bipartisan support. And we talked at Bible study about how that looks kind of to us like a God sighting, like maybe an injustice to be righted, particularly with, you know, some bipartisan work. Right now is not a usual thing. So we hope and dream that this long ill will be rectified, that some people will get some compensation, some recognition, some help for what they have suffered for so long. Come down, O God, so that we may see you at work in the world. Sometimes what we need is not for the heavens to open, but for our eyes to open, for our hearts to open, so that we may see God at work in the world and how we can be a part of that ongoing work. And so we wait for God. We dream in hope of God's better world for all. And we stay awake to God's presence in hope and gratitude. Amen.